Well, that is a tune that is so popular, there is no reason that anybody should claim they don't know what it is. But okay, because I'm generous and kind-hearted, I'll remind you that that's Horace Silver, lyricist, pianist, band leader, and composer. Okay, life is interesting. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is your thoughts. And it concerns this trial that began, technically, began on Friday with opening statements, and that is the trial of three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. We're going to talk about it, but as we start out, we'll talk about it in a kind of a roundabout way, because I want you to feel comfortable about having ideas that are not scripted, that are not told, to the public. Everybody's in the public. They have an idea of what's going on because this paper reported this, or that radio station reported that. And I want to know what you're thinking, because that is really the crux of the whole matter. It is very important to this case, as you know, that they have a absolutely accurate idea of what the public is thinking. And that means they will have an idea of whether the information they are sharing with the public is working, because you're not going to get too much of a variance with that. And I always encourage folks to think for themselves. We're going to ask a broad question today. Broad question. And I know you have some thoughts about it, so it shouldn't be that difficult for you to put together what you're beginning to think even now as this case gets started. So let's get to that. It is vitally important. In fact, you're going to tell us why. Is it vitally important that people's reactions can be predictable and made to be predictable, and for what reason? Why is all this information, as we you think it is information, but it is actually feeding you the information you would then in turn feed back to others? So it's the same information, except that it gets a second agent, meaning you and me and others. We will be repeating the information given to us as if we authenticated it and we're okay with it. And so this is how propaganda works, especially in the legal system. The system puts together a composite view of what they want the public to think. And lo and behold, they put it out there through different streams, and people feel good about having information about something, about a case. They believe that, well, they've read things and they believe they're up to date. So they believe themselves to be authorities of sorts on a case. And they, in turn, just like bees, they pollinate somebody else with their thoughts and so on and so on. And before you know it, you have a whole population of people thinking alike. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. It's just a question, but I want to see your reaction to the question, how it hits you, and what it elicits from you as a reaction. no judgments being made. I just want to know what you are believing at this point or thinking at this point. So here's a question. Based on what has been reported about the case thus far, do you believe the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial? There's a little surprise in that question, but you'll be able to detect it. Based on what has been reported about the case thus far, do you believe that the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial? That's the question. It's a simple, straightforward, direct question. But there are many assumptions in that question, and you will be able to tell us what you regard as assumptions about the question and why you consider them assumptions. Okay, so the number to call is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888, and you'll be able to respond to that question. As this case starts in earnest, we will be building on this question very frequently. It sounds like a very simple question, no big deal, straightforward. But beware, it's not. Let me repeat it one more time so that when you start out, you know what you're responding to. Okay. 888-874-4888. And I just lost my question. It never fails. I'll get it back. So, as this case proceeds, it will take many twists and turns, and the expectation is that everybody paying attention to this case likewise will be twisting and turning. But this question for this audience presumes that you've been down this road before. I don't want to give away too much, but you've been down this road before. How vital it is that your thinking be predictable, and why. So you should tell us what you think about that question and what your answer is. As you know, this case is a very, very, a very symbolic case in many ways, and yet it is quite ordinary in our experience. It's not so far outside of our experience, our collective experience. But let's get this question answered and dealt with right up front. 888-874-4888. Based on what has been reported about the case thus far, do you believe the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial? Ed from Queens, you're up first.
Hey, good afternoon, you three. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Ed. How are you?
Well, you know my trade. Stock answer.
Your thumbs.
Me and my well-developed thumbs hanging on, hanging in. Pertaining to the trial of the men who killed Ahmaud Arbery, on the face is a simple question. I mean, either yes or no. But you've got to look at the facts as they've been going so far. One thing that confuses me about this specifically is a question you raised before, the judge's opinion of the jury selection and how he felt that it would taint the case. Two things really disturbed me about that. Number one, a judge should not have any opinion developed, good, bad, or indifferent. If they do, they should not express it, because the main part of a good judiciary or good judiciaryship, if I'm using the correct word, is impartiality, the ability to allow the facts to be presented in a way that sway neither for the defendant or the prosecutor. So that being said, the judge's opinion gives me pause. And I don't know why, I don't know the laws in that specific state, but I know in New York, that would be grounds for an acquittal, that could be grounds for a mistrial or even an appeal, and the judge should recuse himself, number one. Number two, I wonder how the voir dire went with this jury selection, because there's no way in good conscience you can tell me that you can only find one African-American in that region to sit in that jury. I don't know how.
Okay, could you explain what voir dire is?
Well, voir dire, for those who don't know, is the ability of the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney to ask the jurors specific questions pertaining to the case to ascertain their impartiality. And I believe with certain cases, I'm familiar with New York, I think on certain cases you have one or two out-of-hand objections where you don't have to have any cause, depending upon the case, if I'm correct. But the voir dire is determining whether a juror can be impartial, determining whether a juror has a bias towards a certain, pertaining to the case, this case specifically, a certain race, prejudice, or law enforcement, either to or either pro or con or for law enforcement, whether these questions to ascertain the juror's state of mind, whether they have the ability to be impartial, as I stated before, or whether they're skewed. And based on that voir dire, that would allow the defense or the prosecution attorney to dismiss the person from jury selection, to dismiss the person from juror service. It's part of the selection process, for a better word. And
okay.
I don't know who conducted. Go ahead.
No, but it's usually it's in the presence of each other, the prosecution and the defense, so that everybody can have an appreciation for where a particular candidate for the jury stands in the way of thinking about things.
Yes.
What was the secret that I planted here in this question?
Pertaining to the voir dire process and how it was conducted?
Asking generally, do you believe the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial?
Well, based on the jury selection, no, I don't. I don't believe that there should be only one African American person on that jury, because insofar as race being a construct, it controls our view, whether consciously or unconsciously. It controls the way a situation is viewed, and a white person would view that situation completely different than perhaps how I would view it, based on personal experience and based on history in this country.
But did you get the wrinkle in that question? I deliberately put it there to provoke a reaction.
I can see bias as far as the jury is concerned for the three defendants. An inherent bias going in as far as their decision-making process in confronting Ahmaud Arbery, chasing him through the neighborhood for 5 minutes and trying to force him, quote-unquote, a citizen's arrest.
Okay. You're close, but no prize just yet. You're close.
I'll give somebody else a chance.
Okay. But thank you for getting us started in the right direction, just the same. Thank you very much, Ted. 888-874-4888. This is a very sneaky thing I did today, I would admit. But then you would see how logical it is to ask the question that way. Do you believe the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial? Where am I going, you think? What does the question suggest? What is the hint I'm giving? Any takers? 888-874-4888. Oh, it's screaming at you. How come you missed it? It is screaming at you. And you missed it. Ooh. Time to get out the old ruler for rapping the knuckles here. This is a very basic, but it's a very sneaky question. Why is it sneaky? And why did I ask it? Tony from Orlando, you're on the air. Hello, Tony. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm going to try to... My answer is going to be yes.
Yes, they will get a fair trial.
And yes, they.
Now you expand on your answer.
Okay. When did we find out the makeup of the jury? Was it last week?
Yes.
Okay. When I heard that news, when it broke out, you know what went through my mind? I said, what went through my mind was a jury of their peers. They made sure that they're going to get a jury of their peers. And who are their peers? Who are these people that are on trial right now? And that's what, and when you ask that question, are they going to get a fair trial? They're going to get the trial that I wouldn't get if the rules were reversed, put it that way.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, they will get a fair trial. Who's not getting a fair trial is Ahmaud Arbery. He's not getting a fair trial. But those three men, they're going to make sure that they get the what they call that, the beyond the reasonable doubt trial for them, for those folks right there.
Even what leads you to say that?
It's plain to see.
What leads you to say that?
It's just everything is just set up. Everything's going to be set up to cater, you know, basically, I don't know. It's just that area where they have that trial at. I mean, it's just it's all set up. It's just designed that way. And the law, basically, the law is that is how the law is set up. These laws are set up for these type of situations.
What makes you feel that you're on good footing with that response? You have a handle on it.
Because we've seen this time and time again where the system works for certain people and doesn't work for others. I mean, that's just the way this system is designed. It's designed that way.
Personally, is that your opinion?
Yes, it is my opinion. I believe that... the system is designed by and for a particular group of people in this country.
Okay. I happen to think you're onto something here. Thank you very much. You're onto something. Thanks a lot for your contribution today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Okay, Yatrice. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate, okay?
Okay.
So, because I talked about this with my friend last week, and I saw it the same way. It's like, I can't believe this. It's like, there's only one black person. Like, how can this be fair? But what happens if the white trial, if the white jury finds these guys guilty? It looks like they're really locked in. It looks like that it really was beyond a shadow of a doubt, because emotions didn't play into it. Maybe prejudice didn't. But the other thing that happens for the white guys on trial, and I'm bringing up their race because I think race is very relevant here, is that what if there is a mistake during the trial by the jury? It's going to be really hard to get rid of that mistake, because it's going to give it extra weight if they rule against these guys. If they rule against them and they throw the book at them, it's going to give it extra weight because the trial appeared to be so biased to start with and ended up ruling against them and putting them in prison. So it could go the other way too. I mean, I don't know if it will. It doesn't on the surface look that way. But, you know, my friend did remind me of this, is that there have been a lot of changes over the last couple of years that are pretty significant. And the state of Georgia is kind of different than it used to be. Yes, you have those three guys up there. That's old Georgia. But there's a lot of new people that are living in Georgia. There are a lot of people from the Northeast that have moved down to the South. And so things are changing down there. I don't know if it's going to be reflective in this trial, but it could mean it's a real issue for them too. If there really was a legitimate mistake and they get ruled against, it's going to be really hard to undo that, because they're going to say, wait a minute, you had a trial by your peers. Everything was done. You know, we everything was done to cross your T's and dot your I's. So it'd be very hard to, I think, reverse any kind of mistakes that get made here. But it could go the other way. It could be that this jury of white jurors possibly will rule against them, and then there'll be no way of really getting out of whatever the verdict is at that point.
To your mind, could you recall any case that you've been following or you had followed where there was a discussion about whether the jury hearing the case against a white person came under such heavy scrutiny?
No, I can't. And I think that there's definitely a reason for this discussion, because it's been a pattern in the South for hundreds of years that you've had all white juries that are always letting off, murderers and people that have, killed black people. They let them off. It's systematic. So I can't tell you that, my devil's advocate theory will work or that it's going to be that way. I'm just putting out that there's another theory too. So, we can see it as a slam dunk for the other side that these guys will get a very light sentence, and it could happen. I mean, look, who is the guy in Florida that killed the boy? His name was George, I think. I know you know this case. The boy with the Skittles, and he murdered him, and that was unbelievable. Right, unbelievable. It was so obvious. I mean, and you don't know.
Zimmerman.
Yeah, it was disgusting. I mean, there was so much evidence. It was overwhelming, the amount of evidence. And so the jury had to make a prejudice and emotional decision to allow him to walk. So, you can't guarantee anything in any of these cases. But it could also, maybe, we don't know, could work the other way. But I would certainly feel, I personally just would feel better if it was what's the word? I'm losing everything today. I've got my mind on something else. I would like it if there were more black people on the jury as well. I mean, I think that's fair. But we'll see what happens. I mean, we're expecting nothing. I think everybody kind of is expecting nothing at this point. But sometimes when you expect nothing, you end up getting quite a bit, and sometimes quite a bit more than you expected. So maybe, what if
what about the judge's statement? that, and I quote,
I think it was,
there
I think
appears
it was,
to be intentional discrimination in jury selection. That's the judge speaking.
Right. I think the judge had to note it. He noted it. I think that it might work for both sides at the end of the trial if they want to do an appeal. So it could, you know, it could work for both of them to use that statement in, after this trial's over to their benefit. So I think he was just giving. I'm not sure that he should have even. I don't. If, unless you were going to take an action, although I did hear he couldn't take an action after this point. So or if he could, it was going to be a really heavy lift to turn this thing around. So but I think that he was letting them know, I got eyes on you, and you know, it could be used by both sides at the end. There's got to be a reason why he put that statement in there too. I don't see a lot of judges go out on a limb and do stuff like that. So there has to be a good reason why he put that out there.
Okay. Well, thank you. Very good and considered opinion. Thank you so much. David from San Francisco, you're on the air. Do you think the three white men charged with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery will get a fair trial?
Oh, it's pretty clear that they're him and not. I mean, it looks like a stacked trial to me. But I was also interested in the Wisconsin case where the 17-year-old crosses a state line with his mom. Now, she doesn't even get a ticket for driving a loaded kid across state lines. But if you did you have a guest on, Latrice, who's a lawyer? I was wondering about the chain of evidence.
But you're taking us off topic. And I
together.
Let's stick on the topic. We have our
I was trying
topic.
To,
I clearly identified. Let's stay on topic.
Well, to pull it together, the first camera footage of him is shooting a guy in a darkened auto dealership. And then there are witnesses who spot it, and they say, "Stop that guy. He just murdered a man." And they chase him down the street. And the camera
Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? You're still going on with this case, which is not our discussion today.
Well, the chain of evidence, when the camera changes, they can deny the evidence. And so when the skateboarder in the one case is a hero, but they're trying to blame him as a protester, a rioter. And in the case of Aubrey, they're like hunting dogs, man, and they just, in their own discussion on the tape, they're laughing about it. So don't they have full footage as opposed to the edited footage? Because I've seen more.
We know what they have. We don't know what they have because it has not yet been presented. So we have to wait
first.
And see what they have. But we're looking for, is there a surprise to you in this so far? That I'm asking the question, do you think the three white men charged with Aubrey's murder, and who are now in court to answer for that, will they get a fair trial?
Well, it depends on if the prosecuting attorney wants to have a fair trial. I mean, that just sets him up for failure next election. If he's going to let murderers run loose, people that are bagging humans, like some, what is that old Joseph Conrad story about, you know.
But why do you keep going off on a tangent? It's a very straightforward question.
That you've got more allies than you might imagine. Because nobody wants to see a world where there's vigilantes out there just shooting people down on the street and nobody can put a stop to it. And the DA is too cowardly to have put him in the, buried him under the jail 7 months ago. I mean, how long?
Well, the guy's right? Also entitled, before even trial, he's entitled to the presumption of innocence. And that's why he's in court. That's why they are in court.
Right. But in other words, the footage aren't there two or three different camera angles? And that
I'm not even discussing what they have or don't have. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to discuss it.
Well, you know,
I'm asking a very plain and straightforward question. Why did I ask that question? What is significant about that question?
Whether America has justice or whether it's just some rich guys get to run the world. And I'm not going for the rich guys. And you've got a lot more allies than you might imagine.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks for your contribution today. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. What about the question
I think
asked?
The defendants there are probably very happy with the selection of the jury. In a case like this where three vigilantes have dispatched a black man who was out jogging. And what comes to mind to me is who is that African-American, I suspect, on the jury? Is he someone that they carefully selected to meet, let's say, legal qualifications for a fair trial in a case like this? So that's what comes to mind for me. I don't know anything about the person they selected, that one person, but I think that's important. And as someone who has lived in Georgia, I know my experience has been very negative in that area of the country. And it sounds like the defendants should be very pleased with the selection of the jury that I suspect would be amenable to dealing with a case like this and perhaps finding them innocent, just like the Trayvon Martin case that was mentioned before, where someone attacks someone and then gets off on the basis of self-defense, which I understand is the what the lawyers for those defendants are claiming. So this is not unusual in cases where you have white supremacists attack African Americans. So I would say that they are very fortunate to be able to get that type of jury. And I think the fairness, they have that in their favor. And for the victim of this crime, the other way around. The point is that this doesn't seem like a very fair type jury in a place like Georgia, where white supremacy has reigned for a very long time.
All right. Thank you. So nobody has answered my question so far. I deliberately ask it because it should provoke a whole new set of conversations. All right, I don't see anybody new on the board at the moment, so maybe this is the time for me to explain. I asked a question so that we can ask the question, when was the last time the question had to be asked? Would three white men accused of killing a black man or a man of color, would it ever dawn on anyone to ask the obvious question about whether they would get a fair trial? The question has never come up. When you look at the, I hate to use the word victim in this case, and you look at the race of the three men who pursued this man, hunted him down, as they used to do in old slavery days. They hunted this man down. And then when they cornered him, they just executed him. They are the law. They are taking summary action. They're the jury, they're the judge, they're everything. So that has been a mindset for a very long time in this country. In a scenario like this, there's no question that people will be predisposed to giving the people who should be assigned the label of, well, they are the ones who did this action. They should not enjoy automatically a presumption of anything. But here in the open, this is a question. The whole nation is fixed on this question, because it's like the first time it's being asked at all. There should be no debate about it. Three white guys, one black guy. Who's right? It could just go that primitive about it. Who's right? And that is where so-called justice starts, with the question. There is no question in America, generally, that the three white men charged with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery are presumed innocent. No person of color gets that automatic assumption at all, or privilege. Not only do they automatically get the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, the question has just never come up. They killed a man because, you know, there's an old kind of a sick joke. Your Honor, he needed killing. That's a defense. In that part of America, that's a defense. Why did you kill that man? Your Honor, he needed killing. And today, with all of the permutations they're putting people through, on the assumption that they don't want to go down the old world. They're already down the road on this one. With the assumption, Your Honor, he needed killing. And that's why we killed him. Where do you go with that? So you can see right here, right at this juncture, we haven't even gotten into the details of the case or anything. We're just dealing with America's racial history, which, of course, has infected all of its institutions. Three white men got in their trucks and hunted this man down. He was jogging. They decided arbitrarily he didn't belong there. They never saw him before, and therefore he didn't belong. They didn't know him. He didn't belong. And they assigned themselves as guardians of the community, complete with the authority and the right to dispatch a person from life. No questions asked. They can do it. And so they did. They automatically assumed what we know has been tradition in the South. In the racial divide, whites will always prevail. And then you have it further accentuated in this completely unacceptable composition of a jury. 11 white people and one lone black person on the jury. We're pretending, or we're asked to pretend, that America is fair. I mean, those days are long gone. We've had the civil rights movement, and we've had marches, and we've had speeches by Dr. King. That's done with. Turn the page. Let's move on. But here we have blatant proof that this part of the country, at least, did not move on. And it's not interested in moving on. Three white men, if you want to translate this trial, do three men, because they are white, automatically are to be presumed as superior, as exceptional, as innocent. But the person who they put on trial is the person that they killed. That is a bit bizarre, isn't it? That is quite bizarre. Where the victim is the person who did the wrong thing. The person was in the wrong. And these three men, spotlessly American, looking out for the neighborhood as guardians. They all have guns. They all have some, whether direct or even indirect, link to the local prosecutor's office. So they kind of derive additional power because of that and trustworthiness. And they killed a man. Just like that. And now there is a question about whose credibility will prevail in a court of law that already has shown it has no particular respect for the law. 11 out of 12 jurors are white. This is acceptable. This is normal. This is very American. After all, they are charged with the duty of producing a fair trial. And that, by gum, is what they're going to do. And that's why I asked the question. It is not, it's not really intended to provoke deep analysis, because it's just what everybody knows. In these United States, given that scenario that I painted there, we know the answer. It would be a great departure from the norm and from the understanding of how people are supposed to function in a white supremacist society. We show the death of Aubrey what's conclusive proof. They do not fear anybody. They're in charge. They own the joint. And we are expected now to pretend that we're going to look at a trial and we'll talk about who testified to what, when it's so clear what this is all about. It is so clear. Even the judge made it clear. The judge said from the bench that there are many troubling things about this case. And he used the phrase intentional discrimination. No judge normally uses language like that, certainly not in the South. And people are encouraged now to act as if, well, the slate is clean. We start with a clean slate, and everybody is protected under the presumption of equal rights under the law. That's what I'm talking about. We have a wholesale effort here to just completely defrag people's minds. You don't know what century you're living in. You don't know the realities that you're living with. You don't know anything. And therefore, you should have no suspicions about anything. You're just what the system wants, a nice blank mind. They'll tell you what to think. They'll tell you even how far you can go in thinking about anything. They're making it so that we must believe that the lone black person on that jury feels perfectly safe in that town. That he can make up his mind, his own mind, himself. The trial is about three guys killing a man because they don't agree with him. They don't like him. They don't want him alive. You know, people pretending that this is a, well, it's the court, and the court of public opinion as well. That's not. It is in the tradition of the United States, where race and class and history intersect. Anybody who thinks anything different needs to go into deep counseling to find out first where your mind went, where your memory went, where your common sense went, and then to figure out whether you can be saved. You may be too far gone. You can't be part of the transformation, even of your own town or village. This is what's so interesting, and it's happening in the open. Nobody's hiding anything because they are so sure that the process so far, meaning from slavery days up until now, the conditioning process has been so effective and so complete. What do you mean asking, can this person or these people, these three men, get a fair trial? What does fair trial have to do with it? It's fair if we call it fair. And they're calling it, we're protecting our whiteness. If you see this case in any other way, you're missing a whole bunch of knowledge and information that should tell you where the United States came from, where it is now and where it's headed. You don't need to ask any other further questions. You have all the information you need. And that's why I ask, it's actually sarcastic in a way. Can these three men get a fair trial for killing a black man? Of course they're getting a fair trial. But they get to define what fair is. The main thing is they accomplished the mission. The mission was to remove one black person on that day. Just take him out. And that, in a sense, even if it's just emotional, it takes us back to the way we used to be. And everybody's happy. We'll talk about this some more tomorrow. I like planting little questions that should immediately ring a bell with you. But you're kind of slow on the draw today. That's all right. I'll give you other opportunities to perk up because your life may depend on it. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.